changing topics fairly completely. Although, you know, Lewis Black may have some things to say about what happened yesterday about civil rights and may have something to say about the Supreme Court in a different vein, you know, another take, a comedic take on all of this. Lewis Black is joining us the next part of our program. And he, as you well know, is a comedian. You know, he also went to Yale Drama School. I didn't know that about him. I was reading his bio yesterday. That's kind of a big thing to have done. And he's written a whole lot of plays. He's overseen the development of more than 1,000 plays, including works by West Wing creator Aaron Sorkin. He has done 2 specials for HBO, Black on Broadway and Red, White, and Screwed. The latter was nominated for an Emmy in 2007. He's had a regular feature for 2 seasons on Inside the NFL. He is the author of a number of books, including I'm Dreaming of a Black Christmas and Me of Little Faith. He's a stand-up comedian. He's been on Comedy Central regularly, appearing on The Daily Show. And he's going to be, did I tell you this, at Summerfest, which opens today in Milwaukee, and he'll be there on July 5th. And I know a lot of you will go and see him. We've had a lot of comments about him on our Facebook page, which we will read some of them during our conversation. Our phone number for Lewis Black is 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org, and the Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. Hello, Lewis Black.
Hello.
I'm trying to figure out how to make a transition from the Supreme Court to Lewis Black.
First off, I can pretty simply tell you that Eric Cantor is an idiot. And I don't think anything. What Eric Cantor has said over the past number of years is so spectacularly stupid that it defies description.
But did you see what John Lewis said about him yesterday?
I mean, I don't care. He's an idiot.
All right. So
okay? Until he says something, until Eric Cantor says something, I won't buy it.
All right. Well, maybe
I'm glad John Lewis heard it. I'm glad John Lewis thinks it. Eric Cantor, this would be it would be unheard of if his brain could move in the direction that sees any sort of light.
Maybe you will be surprised.
I live in that area. He lives in the Northern Virginia area.
Right.
It's as if he's watched nothing. Nothing. Being born and raised there.
So do you think this is, let's talk about the Supreme Court because it's on our minds. Do you think it's the end of the civil rights movement, yesterday's decision, and what do you make of today's decisions, Lewis?
No, I think it once again, okay, you want to rev up the civil rights movement? You just revved up the civil rights movement.
Mm.
I mean, you just basically said, you have the day before, or 2 days before, Paula Deen comes out with a deposition that at this point in time, that according to the Supreme Court, reads like fiction. Boy, nobody could possibly still be thinking that down there.
Right.
I mean, it's the day. The day, 2 days after they say, well, everything's changed. What? They continue to do everything. You know, I mean, I don't scour the pages for voting rights stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my bread and butter.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I certainly certainly see enough to know that they do everything that they can to make it impossible for people to vote.
You talk about it. I thought it was interesting that you did a commencement speech. I believe it was your first commencement speech fairly recently, and you talked about having to have a sense of humor about things because otherwise the world will get you. There's a strong enough veil of tears, and I guess that we're seeing that right now.
Well, you go through it. I mean, you got to step back. You got to laugh and go, wow. You know, because as Matt, I've always thought, you know, just as the thing I've realized is that no matter how idiotic, no matter how stupid, no matter how, you think, wow, it can't get any crazier, it always gets crazier.
Really? Is it? Is this? Do we have time periods? Are there certain decades, do you think, Lewis, that are crazier than other decades?
Well, this one is winning a prize.
Why?
Because we really, you know, have had the possibilities of dealing with certain, you know, and it just comes a point in time. I think it's because I'm older. You know, I'm 64. Mm-hmm. And you watch this stuff, and you go, at what point don't you, we move ahead? I mean, to have the Congress reach a 16% approval rating, that's the approval rating, and they act as if the world loves them. There's no movement being, nothing's happening. Nothing. Really intelligent men. I mean, this old white man thing is, of which I am somewhat a part of, in the sense of being old and white. You know, the one great thing about watching it, at least even from my perspective, is I miss dinosaurs leaving the earth. And I cannot imagine a time frame in which more could have been done and less was done.
So here you are giving a graduation speech, and you've got to give hope and promise to a future generation. What did you say?
I said that that the one thing you've got in your pocket, I said, the one thing that they do have in their pocket is that you pursue what it is you want.
Right.
You do that. That will lead. That will make you happy. If you are happy, I said that they're better than we are. And I said, that's what I told them. And I also said that to be better than us.
Mm.
Because we really did, when all was said and done, drop the ball.
Mm. Did you pursue what you wanted?
Yeah, absolutely. I was, and I really do think that's the key to the whole deal.
Mm.
I really do. I don't think there's anything else as important. I think that too many kids come out of college. They go, if you go to college. Yeah, if you go to college, and if you go to college and pursue what you want. If you go to college and feel as if your parents have bought you their education and that you should do what your parents want you to do, then you're going to be screwed for the rest of your life. And it's the only piece of advice I've given kids. And kids have come up to me and said, I mean, because to me, that's it. I mean, I don't know what else people really have to say to kids coming out of school. Please, go ahead, live your dream. It's not, you're living your life. It's not your, they don't get to buy your life.
Can you make a living doing what it is you really want to do you think?
No, you can't.
You can't.
And what better time to do it when you can't make a living anyway?
I didn't know you went to Yale Drama School. That's a pretty big deal.
And I had to borrow a lot of money to go there.
Yeah, I'll bet it was pretty pricey.
Yeah. I mean, I've ended up a comic. I could have spent those 3 years in a bar.
But you've done, and you have done a lot of work of bringing playwrights and writing plays and working with some very prominent people. You've been doing stuff on Broadway.
Yeah, I did a show on Broadway this year. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I did my own stuff on Broadway, my comedy.
Mm-hmm.
That was great.
So was there a point, did you know when you were a really young kid that the passion, that what you really wanted to do was comedy on a show like The Daily Show and at places like Summerfest, or did you want to be a serious playwright?
I wanted to be not a serious playwright. Just being
a playwright.
Being a playwright is serious enough. You got to be, it's kind of, we make, it's just, there's, it's like, as a playwright, I earned, my playwriting earnings over a 20-year span, I would have been more economically comfortable than this as a migrant worker.
Oh, my goodness.
I made no money. And, I always knew that, by the time I got to college, I knew that I wanted a school with a theater department.
Mm-hmm.
And then I proceeded to go around and said, knowing that I really didn't know what I was going to do in theater, I had no idea. I really wasn't much of an actor at that point. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to direct. I thought in a way maybe what I'd be is a critic, but that if I was going to be a critic, I should study all this stuff. And so I pursued it. But in my first 2 years of school, I took every possible kind of course that I had an interest in hopes that I wouldn't be in theater. And it didn't, and then I fell into theater, and then I just stuck with it. And I knew at that point, as soon as I made that decision, that nobody's going to pay me to do what I did. And so I would do everything possible. So I lived in what would be called, you know, I used to call communes, but right. You can't say that word because it sounds, it's so, oh, you did what? And it's ridiculous. And so I lived in, with groups of people so we could basically, you know, other theater people, so we could kind of have enough money to do what we did. And it never, ever crossed my mind, except on the rare occasion. My parents were not rich, but they were middle class, so there was a backstop. Mm-hmm. But I never asked them for much. I just wanted enough to get through. I didn't care what God doesn't care what your paycheck is, if there really is a God. So I was as happy then when I was making a minimal amount of money because I was always doing what I wanted to do.
Right.
Goes, well, what's it like now? It's great now because I really don't have to worry about a lot of things that I really used to have to worry about.
But you're.
And I don't know how people who come up and this whole entrepreneurial thing, which is kind of overtaken, like rabid dogs, everybody's going to be an entrepreneur next week. I don't understand how someone comes out of that kind of economic strata and goes into the other economic strata and not remember.
So you're
how tough that was.
So you're as happy now as you were when you had nothing.
Yeah.
That's good to hear.
Well, which most people think, no, that's not true, but it is true.
No, I believe you. Louis Black is our guest. He's going to be at Summerfest on July 5. We'll welcome a few phone calls for him. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. We have some Facebook comments. We'll get to those and... And you can leave messages there, too, which is the Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I don't want you to be surprised on Monday because this show, which has been in this time period for 8 years, which is a pretty long time, is moving to a different time period on Monday of next week, 1 to 3 in the afternoon, which also happens to be the day that will mark my 20th year at Wisconsin Public Radio. It goes so fast. Talk of the Nation, unfortunately, is going off the air. I really like that show, and they're not doing it anymore. So we do a similar kind of show, and we love audience participation, so we thought we would move into that time period. Monday, 1 to 3, I will not have died, I hope, in the next few days, so don't think what happened to us, that's where we're going to be starting on Monday. On Point, which comes out of Boston, will be live then from 9 to 11. And other changes, go to WPR.org. Louis Black is with us now. Here's a Facebook message, Louis, from James. Black once did a great bit on how international travel opened his eyes to the fact that the U.S. really isn't number one. I'm privileged to have seen him at the University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point, in 2004. Do you remember that bit? Do you still do that, international travel?
No, I mean, I don't. I basically every year try to come up with a new hour. Hmm. So I'm constantly trying to change it. And so, internet, you know, so I find other ways to talk about it, such as like, you know, the Supreme. One of the things I realized from the Supreme Court decision is that the people who voted, who basically gutted the act, or these are men who've never traveled.
Hmm.
They don't travel. Hmm. I just find it sometimes amazing to watch the Supreme Court. I happen to like the Supreme Court. I think it's the one body that is kind of forced to actually do a job up there.
Mm-hmm.
But they, in many fashions, especially when you see a ruling like this, they live in a bubble.
Hmm. So you mean they need to travel to the South, or they need to travel all over the world?
The United States, but certainly they've never been to the South for very long.
Jerry is next in Menasha. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, I want to thank Mr. Black for his magnificent sense of timing and his delivery. This
thank
seems
you.
To be missing in much of the comedic world today. Of course, I'm a senior citizen, and I remember people like Fields and Jack Benny and comedic stars of that sort who had that wonderful sense of timing, and Mr. Black has it. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. That's very kind.
Thanks. You know, I think your business is such a rough business when you talk about coming up with a new hour of material, and you just don't know if people are going to laugh or if they're going to connect with you. I mean, you do because you have a history of it, but it's like doing something new all the time to get this precious reaction from an audience. That's a hard job, isn't it?
Well, it was. Learning it is really hard, I think, at least for me. There are very few naturals. So you watch a lot of people that you like she was mentioning some of the ones, and then you watch people like Bob Newhart or Richard Pryor, like George Carlin, and you pay attention to them, and then you just get up and do it. And what's really crazy is not only do I come up with that time, the new hour, I don't write this stuff down, I just go on stage and I talk. So none of it's written.
So how do you memorize it?
I get up a lot. I work like four nights a week usually over the course of a year. And I kind of find, you know, I know what it is. It's kind of like I've got a story, I want to tell it. I know what the story is. You know, and the audience, I mean, one of the tougher things about doing radio, to be honest, as a comic, and it always is that there is no audience. And a lot of what I get is what I sense from the audience. So I know where to go for a laugh from where they are.
Right, yeah. Well,
that's part of it, and that's the sense you can only develop by doing it over and over and over and over and over again.
Right. Have you done Summerfest before?
Oh, yeah, I actually did. I was the last comic to work Summerfest. I worked the last 3 years that they had comedy. They used to have a comedy tent. I started there.
Oh.
I started there like 20 years ago. I worked for about 15 years at the tent.
Wow.
And then I moved over to the Harley stage, and I forget a couple of others, and worked by myself or with an opening act. I've had a huge history with them.
I haven't been for so long, I shouldn't admit this, but I feel like I'm getting so old that I stay home and read a book.
It's a pretty remarkable.
It is.
I always thought from the very beginning it was really, and before it was kind of discovered by other people around, as opposed to just the folks in Wisconsin, it was probably the greatest bargain in music in the country.
Yes,
and it's still a great bargain. It's spectacular.
Yeah, it is. And the setting is beautiful. We're such an underrated city in many ways. I'm glad you like it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been a big ambassador for the city for a long time. I've always talked about how much I have a real love for Wisconsin. I mean, that's kind of one of it's one of the states, really, and Milwaukee certainly. Summerfest, it's where I grew up as a comic. The first time I went on stage at Summerfest, I've never been in front of that many people except for a couple of times. So each time I learned a lot about how you deal with an audience of that size, who many are really, six lining kugels into
exactly.
it. It was a huge, I learned a lot of huge lessons there.
Yeah, good. Well, there are more to be learned. Thank you, Lewis Black, our guest this part of the show. He will be at Summerfest on July. It's almost July. Woo! July 5th, next week. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing the hour, and thanks also to Jessica Sharpie for help with this show in the last hour. Tomorrow, during our 9 o'clock hour, we will be looking at today's Supreme Court decisions on Defense of Marriage Act and on Proposition 8. We'll have two great guests with us, so please join us tomorrow. Again, we move times next Monday from 1 until 3 in the afternoon. So please move with us. Same show, different time. This is Great Conversations Ahead. News in a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.